You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Anybody know what a Jimmy Cagney love scene is? It's where Cagney lets the good guy live. And if that happens in this show, I'm gonna do a lot more than ask for my money back. All right? Let's kill this mother. Go.
I don't know why.
Because his dick was stuck in a chicken.
Furball?
Yeah. Where'd you get the suit, Grandpa? Gangster's arrest?
It's me, the Jaystrom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Episode 93, live on Talk Radio X. We're live. Boom, the world, Steven. Sitting to my left is Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How you doing, Steven?
I'm okay. I'm doing better now.
Are you drugged? You seem drugged,
Steven.
I'm drugged
up, yes.
What's the matter, old guy?
I got a little bit of a head cold. I'm taking the old NyQuil, trying to get better.
I hope you get better during the show. It would be nice, like a miracle. It's healing powers of Mulberry. Steven, wake up. Okay. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian, live on
yes.
Talk Radio X. How you doing, Bill?
I'm all right.
Everything is awesome, is it not? We're here for another live show. I love it. I really do. Okay, I could stop pushing my voice, and I'm back to normal. Hey, guys, I just feel like I gotta just, oh, hey, everybody! Like, I'm just excited.
Steven's falling asleep next
and then
to
you hit that, you hit that high after you're live, and then soothing effect
Jason's
takes
high
over.
Is keeping me up.
Yes. Yeah.
I'd be asleep if it weren't for his high.
Yeah. Every time I hear you breathe, I go, Steven, wake up! Steven, what are you doing? Wake up! Okay. But we're here, and you know what, Bill? I really feel bad because I was about to mention last week, but we totally like digressed into another subject. But I was going to thank Antubert of the Live Test Show for having you and I on his show last week.
Yeah, that was fun. We went forever.
We did a marathon live show, like 2.5 hours. Dogs and cats living together.
He would try to wrap up, and we would keep going.
No, but anyway, what we were talking about, we talked about Steven Seagal, Zork, all sorts of things.
Zork.
And Antibird, if you have the MP3 of that, hey, send it over, because I'd love to hear how it turned out.
Yeah, I heard half of it live, and then I had to leave. I couldn't continue listening.
Right.
Made me wish I had one of those little Wi-Fi radios that you could listen to internet radio.
You know what?
On.
I looked up those this week for anyone that wonders, you know, like, how can I listen to Talk Radio X without my computer? They have these Wi-Fi portable stereos, and they even have portable ones like an iPod
like an
or
iPod,
something.
Yeah,
you have to find a Wi-Fi signal, but you could listen to Talk Radio X, I believe, on those.
Yeah, absolutely cool. You can.
That is so wicked cool. I really think those will become more commonplace over time.
Especially with citywide Wi-Fi going in.
How long before cars have built-in Wi-Fi in their stereos?
As soon as they start wiring more cities.
Because they relatively fast made iPod-compatible car stereos, did they not? Where docks in the car, that kind of thing? They did it pretty fast.
Yeah.
You can buy new cars with satellite radio. Why not?
Yeah. You can even buy cars with these dishes on top of them that you can get internet service on.
Right.
So you could travel around getting internet from a satellite dish.
You know, I get a kick out of hearing us live, but unfortunately I can't ever hear us live because we're doing the show. It's quite
there's a
little conundrum there, wouldn't you say, Steven?
Guess you just have to listen to us in repeats.
Yeah, I do that, and I get a kick out of it. I'm like, those guys are crazy. They're great live. Oh, wait, it's not
it's
us.
It's not live anymore.
Yeah, no, it's just I missed out. Anyway, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but thank you for having us on the live test show. That was awesome. It was really cool to be on a different show. You know, we've had other people from their shows on our show, but we've never really been on another show. Like Merv Griffin or something like that.
Yeah, that was
a
really interesting experience.
Yeah, no, we won't, Steven. Steven, we wanted you to be on that show too, but unfortunately you were unavailable.
My travels.
Your Playboy lifestyle.
He was getting his Mormon magic underwear.
Yes. But a lot of stuff has happened this week. We got a crap load of stuff to talk about, so let me just get into it, all right? Are you guys ready for this? First of all, Britney performed at the VMAs.
Are you ready for that?
Have you guys heard that apparently it's all the world was talking about earlier in the week because it was a train wreck.
Yeah,
is she drunk? Does she care? But there's this new TMZ on TV, Bill. It's like the worst produced show I've ever seen. It really is. But let's go ahead and check out what they've been saying about Britney.
It's Britney, bitch.
Good luck tomorrow, Brittany. Good luck tomorrow.
Maybe her weekend regimen will give us some answers. Round one. She arrives in Vegas and MTV.com captures an exclusive rehearsal. So far, so good. Round two. Forget bedtime.
Oh, God.
It's bar time. Round three.
Yeah, just stop with
another
the jokes,
round,
dude.
Y'all. This time with Diddy, Paris, and Fitty.
Yep.
That Fitty. Round 4:30 a.m. Brit is seen disappearing to Chris Angel's Lamborghini. Add it all up and you've got...
I just want more.
That makes one of us.
Don't you
get
love...
it? Disappearing into Chris Angel's...
Huh?
Limo.
I love when they work in their own little jokes that I guess they think is funny.
Yeah.
Do you have a feeling they worked on that,
round
that
one.
Piece for how long? Like, it went through a train of editors... But you know,
how many more of those shows do we need?
Why is that like, entertainment? I don't know. The VMAs. I'm too old to watch. I don't think I'm allowed to anymore.
I didn't even bother. I could give a crap.
You know, and the reason I didn't is because here in Mulberry, we have cultural things to do. We have, in town, they actually have a really cool show right now, Bill. I don't know. I'm not really into musicals or live plays, or I guess they're live and they're plays, so it doesn't make any sense to call it a live play. But they have, what do you call those where it's just one dude doing the whole play?
Monologues.
Yeah, like a monologue. Yeah, kind of like that, Stephen. But
is
they have
a soliloquy. That's a poem, is it?
Yeah, we went to a live reading, is what it was, in the Mulberry Town Square. They have a lovely theater there. I took the wife. We got some culture. It was incredible. And there was this beautiful woman. She did a little on-stage performance of Britney. It's called Britney, Leave Her Alone. It was beautiful.
And how fucking dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through? She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two fucking kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human!
This chick is incredible.
It's a conspiracy.
Wow.
What you don't realize is that Britney's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her. She hasn't performed on stage in years. Her song is called Give Me More for a reason, because all you people want is more, 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 more!
We can't help it!
Leave her alone!
For some reason,
you're
she had a blanket
lucky she
over
even
her head.
Performed for you bastards! Leave Britney alone! Please!
I got up for popcorn at this point.
Mm-hmm. Perez Hilton talked about professionalism and said if Britney was a professional, she would have pulled it off no matter what. Speaking of professionalism, when is it professional to publicly bash someone who's going through a hard time?
I have to use the bathroom, so I'll be back in a minute.
This is a great show.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
Oh, you put it like that.
I mean it.
Okay.
Anyone who has a problem with her, you deal with me. Because she's not well right now.
Who are you?
Spalding Gray's apprentice.
Leave her alone.
Oh my god. Yeah, that was great. It was a one-time only show because she blew her head off.
And
the
bullet went through
girl,
her
right,
head
Bill?
And hit the guy playing the piano, too. Boom.
Was that
two
a girl,
one.
Bill?
I'm sorry, say again?
Was that a girl?
No, that's a guy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a 19-year-old guy.
That was, yeah. That's mm-hmm. great. So anyway, the wife and I enjoyed that. But then on the VMAs, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Sarah Silverman, you know, I have no problem with Sarah Silverman, but stop going on award shows on MTV. That's all I have to say, okay? But she did a little thing on Britney. I thought it was kind of funny.
It's mind-blowing. And she's so grown up. She's a mother, you know? It's crazy. It's weird to think that just a few years ago on this very show, she was this, like, sweet, innocent little girl in slutty clothes writhing around with a python. Nah, that's not nice, calling Madonna a python.
Laugh, Steven.
But have you seen Britney's kids?
Cougar. She was.
Oh my god. They are the most adorable mistakes you will ever see. They are so cute. They're as cute as the hairless vagina they came out of.
Oh god.
Wow.
Leave her alone.
Whoa, you pissed
right. I just threw up
now.
In my mouth.
I mean it.
Okay. Well, it wasn't us. It was Sarah Silverman. Alright? Jeez.
Right now.
What
I mean
like about her is she's not afraid to say that stuff. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't care who she offends.
Yeah, she insulted Paris Hilton too. But that's too easy. Make fun of some men too, right? That's what I say.
Well, she didn't really host the show. She just came out and
did her little bit.
Bastard!
That's an angry young woman, man.
Yeah. Thing. Man, woman. Androgynous female. Beast.
Yeah. So, on that note of androgyny, let's get into some entertainment and get the show going. What do you say, Bill?
Let's do it.
Nomine Patria et Filii, Spiritus Sancti.
Now, Bill, last week we talked about the Boondock Saints on DVD segment, the Boondock Saints, and I had never seen it. In fact, I had heard a lot about it. People had mentioned it, Boondock Saints this, Boondock Saints that, but I didn't know the whole history of it, and we will get into that in a second. But first, let's talk about Shoot 'Em Up, which we all saw during the week. Steven and I, you and I saw it with my wife. Bill, you saw it in Mulberry at the same theater where we saw the Brittany guy. And yeah. What do you guys think? What did you think of it?
It was fun. Had a really good time.
I loved it. Yeah.
It was crazy, wasn't it? It was basically an adult cartoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was ridiculous, escapist, violent, fun. I don't even think there was truly a plot. It was just like a vague plot to move from action scene to action scene, and I didn't care. It was just so much fun.
The skydiving scene just was hilarious.
The skydiving scene alone.
I was laughing so hard.
I was just giggling. It was hilarious.
I mean, that's when all we can talk about after we get out of the theater.
That first shot when he shoots the guy and, like, it just, like, he, like, flies back.
He flies off the screen like it's a video game. Like, woo-woo-woo! It's hilarious.
Cracking up.
I couldn't stop laughing at that. The whole movie has this ridiculous sense of humor. It's just silly. And I've seen some bad reviews of it. It's like worst film of the year, but I've seen some other things like great movie, hilarious, entertaining. I just think it's not for everybody. It was obviously for us.
Right. Yeah. It is meant for a certain type of people. You're right.
And this, I read a review of it afterwards and I realized I was kind of like, yeah, that's right. Clive Owen's character, Mr. Smith, he's always munching on carrots. He's like angrily biting into carrots. And essentially, the movie is a Warner Brothers cartoon. It's Bugs Bunny, and Paul Giamatti plays Elmer Fudd. And when you think about it that way, it's like, you know what? It all makes sense. They did stuff with, remember, he's shooting the neon sign where it says F-U, and then Paul Giamatti shoots it where it says F-U-2 or whatever. It's just like right out of a cartoon. Yeah. And you can't take it seriously. You have a lot of fun if you don't, I think.
Well, even
and he calls him Mr. Bunny at points, too.
Yeah. And he even goes, "What's up, Doc?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Aren't you a wascally wabbit?"
Yeah.
But Paul Giamatti was so good at this. I thought he was just hilarious.
Yeah, I love the wife constantly calling him.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
great.
What was bad about it? Wasn't bad about it, I should say. Like, last year, Crank tried to do this. And they put too much emphasis on, like, the drama of it.
Right.
Whereas this movie was just balls to the wall insanity. And that's exactly what Crank should have been. This movie was... Right.
You know, I did like Crank, though.
Oh, I did, too. I'm not saying that I didn't. But I thought Crank, like, tried to be something that it wasn't.
Right. Okay.
But, Shoot 'Em Up was just...
This one just had the humor, really. It had the humor down pat. Really, really good.
I've read things like it has one-liners, cheesy one-liners that aren't funny. But I gotta admit, I started feeling self-conscious because I was laughing at everything. I was like, is anyone else laughing at this?
The cheesy one-liners were expertly delivered.
Yeah, I mean, Clive Owen is the man in this.
And there are moments of, like, pure genius in the performances.
Right.
Like, especially the scene where Clive Owen is, not rappelling, but... using a rope to go down the stairs, the center of the stairwell, and there's that slow-mo moment where he recognizes the Paul Giamatti character, and his face just contorts into this pissed-off, shocked,
Yeah, like, he's still alive?
Yeah, and I was just like, whoa, that's like the best look I've seen like that in a movie.
I won't give anything away, but there's one point where there's a baby that he rescues. And the baby's always in peril, and you think something horrible's happened to the baby. And the line that Giamatti delivers, he goes, what kind of sick, twist, demented, you know, person would come up with something like that? And I just thought that was great.
Yeah, and also there's like moments, like that one part in the... that room where there's that roller corrugated thing for the boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's rolling down. He's holding the baby, and the shot on the fake baby going, ah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. Here's one thing that'll the baby. The only way to calm the baby on to keep it from crying is death metal. The baby's like, ah. And Monica Bellucci, she's great in it. So.
Yeah, I'm feeling bad for her, though, because I think the smoking's taking its toll.
Yeah,
She needs to calm down with the smoking. She's turning kind of leathery.
You get that wrinkled lip thing, too.
Yeah.
But all in all, I would say it's a fun movie. It's not meant to be taken seriously.
Not at all.
It's almost like the writer-director was like, I'm going to make a movie that's a lot of fun, and I'm just going to have a lot of action sequences.
It's an adult live-action cartoon.
Yeah, it's just one long chase scene. It's a lot of fun. I never felt that Clive Owen was particularly in any danger because he was such a badass.
Well, what shocked me is after I got home, I had to look up this Michael Davis because the name sounded familiar.
Right, the director.
And I looked it up, and it's a guy that directed, like, teen comedies.
Yeah.
Like this 8 Days a Week, that movie that had the girl from Felicity in it.
Right.
And that 100 Girls movie that was absolutely horrible.
Did he do something called Pre-Hysteria also?
Yeah.
What the hell is that? Something to do with dinosaurs?
Wasn't that the one with Jeff Daniels and the kids with the tiny miniature
dinosaurs?
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell. But and I was obviously, like, he was waiting.
Yeah, I was like, why is this guy doing these things?
He was lying in wait.
Yeah, it's just so much fun.
He was getting some money to do this.
Yeah, obviously he had this in the back of his head, and finally he got to do it. And unfortunately, it didn't look like it made a lot of money at all on its opening weekend. But
no, it didn't make it to the top five, I know that.
I think it was number five, but it was beat out by films that have already been out.
That was the first week it wasn't number five. I didn't know about this weekend.
That's so bizarre to me that a movie like 300 can open number one and a movie like this can open number five. Was there not enough advertisement?
310 to Yuma. That was the movie everybody wanted to see. I really think that's all it was. Everyone's still going to see Superbad. Everyone's still going to see Rob Zombie's Halloween for some reason.
Oh, God. And then there's that that Will Arnett, Will Forte movie, The Brother Solomon.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I don't think that made a dime. But here's the thing. I'm sick of reading people saying, what's with all the Hollywood remakes? Why do they keep doing that? Hey, here's an idea. Stop going to see them. Stop putting them in the top five. Don't make Halloween the number one movie the weekend it comes out. What do you think Hollywood sees then? People are sick of remakes. No, they
people
see.
Love
Let's
remakes.
Keep making them. So don't anybody say that to me because you know you went to see Halloween on opening night. Okay?
You know, and how many people have no idea, like kids, that Halloween is a remake? Or
oh, God, that would make me violently angry if I was in the theater. Man, that was a great original movie. Rob Zombie knocked it out of the park. It's like, hey, look, asshole. This is a remake.
John Carpenter did it better the first time.
Yeah. We didn't need to know Michael had a horrible childhood with cliched parents and lots of vulgarity.
And there were such great subtle moments in the original Halloween. I was thinking about, like, the little kids, Jamie Lee Curtis's character is babysitting, and they're watching an all-night horror movie marathon.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, there's a moment where a little kid's looking outside, and he sees Michael Myers carrying a dead body, and he's, like, freaked out, but in the background, you hear the sound from a horror movie. I can't remember what movie it is, like The Thing or something. It just gives it this creepy vibe. It's brilliantly done. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see if Rob Zombie came up with anything
brilliant
like that, because I've seen it already and I don't want to see it again, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I prefer the John Carpenter, you know, Michael's a supernatural kind of being, not some disturbed human.
Well, there's this new movie, this new Neil Jordan movie with Jodie Foster called The Brave One, where she is becomes like a Charlie Bronson, I guess.
She's Pauline Kersey.
Yeah, Pauline. And it's like right in the middle, 50-50. I've read bad, good, bad, Rotten Tomatoes. It's about 50-50. I don't know. Do you want to see it, Steven? Not really?
No. I don't really have an urge to see it, no. I'd go see Superbad again.
Yeah, if I was going to go see something, I'd probably go see Shoot 'Em Up again, and then since it's only 80 minutes, take in Superbad.
Well, I'd still like to see 310 to Yuma, but I have a feeling that I won't be seeing that until DVD.
Yeah, I'll wait for the HD DVD.
Possibly. Now, okay, let's talk about the Boondock Saints for a second. I had no idea about the history of the film, and in case you didn't, it's directed by a guy named Troy Duffy. And apparently this guy, he was an overnight sensation in Hollywood. Harvey Firestein. Harvey Weinstein.
Hey, baby, how are you?
If I was a bee and you were a bee.
I'd love your script. Let's go in the back.
Yeah, so obviously Harvey Weinstein, he read the script and he loved it, right? And, but wait, before I get into that, let me just say what I thought of the Boondock Saints. All right, Bill?
Yeah.
I thought it was ambitious. I thought the script, or at least the plot was interesting. I thought Willem Dafoe was great in it. He was doing the best he could with the material he could. Obviously, it was an extremely low-budget movie, and they couldn't fill the cast with decent actors. The two main guys, the Boondock Saints guys, are great, I thought. Sean Patrick Flannery, young Indiana Jones, and another guy who I recognize from Blade 2. I think he played Scuzz or Scud or something. And Billy Connolly's in it also, which I think he's great in anything he does.
Yeah.
Okay. But the rest of the cast is rounded out by guys who look like they've never acted before, or they just don't.
It was his cousins. And
yeah, it's Willem Dafoe's friends.
Willem Dafoe has scenes that he has to act with the other cops. He's an FBI agent. He's explaining to them what they missed and whatever at these crime scenes. But it's almost like they filmed the room with buddies. Like, hey, you want to play a role, Steven, in my movie? You get to act against Willem Dafoe. It seems like a good idea, but actually it's not a good idea.
No,
hey,
not at all.
I'm a great actor.
Now, I did like the blood. I like the squibs, Bill. There was a lot of blood. Now, here's the thing I thought was funny. I thought the music was way overdone. Like, take for instance this small scene with Rocco, where the character of Rocco, who looks like some ex-wrestler from the WWE, he's like shooting a bartender, but listen to the music in the background and just how overpowering it is. It's like, did Tool do the soundtrack? It's just, that kind of rock music is through the whole movie. And I was just like, it's distracting me from the film. We don't need it. And I'm going to say that the movie could have been a lot better, maybe if they had more of a budget. There were shots in the film that I thought were really good. There was also some very overwrought kind of, what would you say, Bill? Pretentious, maybe? I don't know.
Well, you know what? Is it a pretension if the guy has no idea what he's doing?
Well, there's scene. It's not that I don't think the guy knows what he's doing. I think he thinks maybe this would be cool, but it's not.
But scene after scene is taken from other movies that we've seen before and done better.
Well, he overdoes the slow-mo, first of all.
Yeah, that loud music actually reminded me like of scenes taken actually from like Wild at Heart, you know, where the Power Man music, you know, comes in.
Well, what's funny,
just
this
really overpowering, but in that scene it fit. This one it doesn't, you know.
I do like that scene, though, whenever violence erupts. It's funny.
I think he spent all his budget on squibs.
Right, it's possible. But here's the thing I was trying to get to. There's a part where Willem Dafoe is talking about a crime that happened. There's dead bodies everywhere. He's explaining to these guys. And while he's talking about it, you see it happening. He's standing there with the actors, but it's in a flashback, which I believe we've seen in other films.
Yeah.
But there's a part where there's this big shootout happening, and it's crazy. And they show Willem Dafoe in slow motion conducting the shootout like it's an orchestra. And I was like, okay, this might have looked good in your head, and it might have seemed like a cool idea. Doesn't come off that way. It comes off as totally stupid.
Yeah, it does.
Just retarded.
It's painful. It's like those moments where, like, you see something embarrassing happen, and you, like, get uncomfortable.
In that
That's what this scene is.
I felt sorry for Willem Dafoe in that scene, because he probably got sold on it by the director, you know. And I'm telling you, the idea sounds cool on paper, most likely. Like, I was thinking about it, conducting, like, a battle. That sounds pretty cool. But when you see it, it's just like, gay. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. There is a documentary that exists called Overnight, where it is about the directors, Troy Duffy's rise and fall in Hollywood. And the funniest thing I found out in the thing is he did all the music with his rock band called The Brood. And I was like, no wonder there's too much music in the movie. It's his band doing it, and they probably wanted to put as much of their music in it as possible, wouldn't you think?
Nice soundtrack.
Rocking soundtrack. So this,
they even changed the band name from The Brood to The Boondock Saints.
But,
like, holy, you're clever, buddy.
Right.
That's like,
now, here's the thing about this, is this guy, he is swept up by Harvey Weinstein. And I think part of this is to blame for Harvey Weinstein, too, because I've never heard a deal like this being made. Not only did he give the guy a deal for his script for $300,000, he also was going to let him direct it. He was going to give him final cut. He was also going to go in havesies on a bar that he wanted to own. Is that right, Bill?
Uh-huh.
He was going to buy the bar for the guy and co-own it. He just, like, loved this guy and gave him all the stuff. And, I mean, it's not that I don't think Troy Duffy already had a big head, but when something that big happens all at once, wouldn't it kind of freak you out a little? Like, oh, man, we are made, dude. And he also sold a deal with Harvey where his band, he would let his band do the soundtrack. So automatically, you've sold your script for $300,000, you've been promised to direct a movie with not only Final Cut, but you get to do the music, and the same dude is buying you a bar.
Yeah, and you get a record deal with Maverick Records.
So your deal is made. Madonna's picking up her label is picking you up. And there's this scene where he's like, dude, guys, just want to let you know, next time we go on stage, we're going to be Maverick recording artists with Madonna's label. And they're like, woo! And all these dudes do is drink and smoke.
Yeah.
And this dude, what's funny, I don't know if you've noticed this, Bill, in this documentary, if you see this, called Overnight, none of his friends hardly ever talk.
No,
and
he talks for them.
He never stops talking. He tells them what's going down. I'm in charge. You work for me. If you screw it up, you know, you've screwed everybody. And the only time it seems like anybody ever talks is like, can I talk to you for a second? I just want to tell you that I'm not happy with the way things are going. And he's like, F you. You know what? I've been carrying you. Why are you bringing this up now? It's just like, because you never shut up and I never get to. So here's what happens. He's dealing with Harvey, kind of playing hardball about everything, is what I believe. They kind of don't go into a lot of detail on this, except for Harvey gets scared from the guy because he realizes this guy is like a wild, he's a firecracker. He's wild. He just never shuts up.
I think it all stemmed from the casting sessions. That's why they couldn't use the video from him. They had to use, like, still shots from the casting sessions. He was, like, dead set on, like, Robert De Niro in the role that Willem Dafoe did, and Kenneth Branagh in the role that Billy Connolly did.
Right.
All these huge names, and he would not budge.
But here's the thing, though. Why would he think... He would think he would eventually get that, I would think, after he's gotten so much from Harvey.
Yeah.
Maybe Harvey shouldn't have given him so much at first.
I in a way think it's Harvey's fault, but also this guy felt like he was like entitled to everything.
He kind of sounds like Billy from Entourage.
Yeah, that's what I started drawing parallels and wondering how much of this was Billy on Entourage was based on Troy Duffy in a way.
Yeah.
Because Medellin, they gave him Final Cut, which was stupid. I was like, why would anyone do that to this director? But here's the other thing. So Harvey drops him. So they're like, well, screw him. Let's take our movie somewhere else. We're the hottest toast in Hollywood. They show him hanging out with Mark Wahlberg, Patrick Swayze, huge star right there. He's hanging out with Jake Busey and just all of Emilio Estevez. Yeah, and I can imagine Mark Wahlberg was probably like, me and my brother, we do this movie. That would have been pretty cool, a big budget version with him and his real life brother, something like that.
Yeah.
But it turns out the guy is kind of psycho. He's really full of himself. He never shuts up about how he's doing this, he's doing this. And not only he's the worst kind of smart, he's smarter than you. He's smarter than everybody. He knows how to do everything. You don't. And here's the thing. I really think had Harvey not gotten a hold of this guy, if somebody else did, and they actually just ignored that. Because let's face it, a lot of directors are like this. They're assholes.
Yeah.
He would have been the next Kubrick. What do you guys think about that?
You know what? I think he probably would have had a promising career, but you can't change an asshole. Once an asshole, always an asshole.
Right, but a lot of assholes get their movies made.
Yeah, and I just think that Harvey encouraged this behavior. And it almost like whenever they were talking to the lady from the Washington Post,
right.
And she was talking about how Harvey...
Yeah, I have a clip of that.
Cons... Okay, go ahead.
Let's play that.
From the moment that Harvey passed on the film, the movie, nobody was going to touch it. For the reason that he was Harvey's guy, Harvey found him, Harvey brought him out into the public eye, made him a star, set him up, gave him all these opportunities, and Troy blew it. And then I ran into Harvey at the Oscars this year. Harvey was sitting with his wife in this booth and this great big platter of sushi in front of them. And I said, hey, Harvey, I'm Sharon Waxman with the Washington Post. He goes, oh, you're Sharon. He goes, was I right about Troy Duffy or what? That's the first thing he said. He'd had all these movies nominated for the Oscars, and the first thing out of his mouth was Boondock Saints. That's the point. Which is this tiny movie he'd passed on ages ago. His attitude is, probably, I made you, I can unmake you. You know? Or, I made you, you don't appreciate it, fuck you.
Right. So, and he, of course, he doesn't learn from that. He's like,
no.
Screw Harvey, I'll do something else. And there's this great part of the doc where he goes to talk to a film class. A film student class, and he's getting annoyed with their questions. Did you get that, Bill? He even talks to this girl. He goes, you remind me of my sister. This is like an argument I have with my sister. And the girl's like, okay. So just to give you an idea, Steven, since you haven't seen this in our audience, this is Troy Duffy talking to somebody. And picture, there's a million scenes like this in the documentary. His friend's sitting there silently, mouths agape, while this guy rambles on.
Opinionated ass fucking film students are about the most putrid lot I could think of. These fuckers do not understand. Nobody at the record label understands what we can accomplish. No one other bands have had in the past. If I have to show these motherfuckers how to do this, which I do because record companies are used to doing things in a specific way, and I think we have been right all along and nobody listened to us, fine, we'll do it ourselves and we'll show you. Fine, we'll show you too. We will show you. You've just given us the opportunity really here, if you look at it the correct manner, to show you the new deal. Do your fucking job, asshole. I don't want to fucking hold anybody's goddamn hand all the time.
Bitter much?
Single out next week. Go, stop, go, stop, stop, go, go, go. See ya. Click. I don't care if it's in brown paper bag, it's the artwork. Get it out there. So if at the end of the day we got to show these cocksuckers, then that's what we'll do. We'll show them all.
That's just it. That's all he does. And
that right there is, you know, it makes me think, I'm sure people are going to badmouth me for this, but, you know, Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit comes, you know, it's just like, this guy is the epitome of that. He is prideful and he is arrogant and he thinks he is the best and no one can tell him what to do. And that's his collapse. That's why he'll never work again, because he thinks he deserves something that he doesn't. Harvey may have, you know, instigated that, but it's not Harvey's fault. It's
right,
the
guy was who he was even before that deal, I'm sure. He was that guy who was always bullshitting, oh, yeah, one day our band's going to hit it big. And I love they released their CD. They changed the name of their band from The Brood, like you said, Bill, to The Boondock Saints, which it said they sold 690 CDs.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
That's embarrassing. I mean,
really
that is,
embarrassing.
That just, is a reaming. That yeah. is just
and
disastrous.
They it's a, the Boondock Saints ends up making some money on video, except he didn't make a deal where he gets a dime from the video sales.
Because he was such an arrogant asshole, he wouldn't let his, you know, who was representing him.
Right.
It was somebody first, and then he switched to William Morris, like, in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
And nobody caught that. So he lost any money that the movie would ever make. He's not getting a dime.
And the sad thing is, I don't think the film's bad enough where the guy shouldn't work again. I would be willing to watch another film this guy would make.
But
I
would, he would not get Final Cut or any of that.
No.
Well, he shouldn't have it.
No, I'm just saying, but that's...
You would think he could get a job in TV or something, but no one will touch this guy.
Yeah, and that's kind of sad also that, you know, one guy can be tarnished by one guy. You know, that's too much power. In fact, I think that's kind of what the downfall of Miramax was, that Hollywood finally got so upset with this power that the Weinsteins had that Disney dropped them, and they went and... you know, created their own company
yeah,
now.
The
so now they're their own entity. But this guy, maybe he would be able to write something else, but I don't think he should direct it.
Right. I mean,
I think maybe he should take some courses and maybe watch some other things.
Hey, for a guy who's never, he's even said, I never wanted to be a director, but I want to direct this kind of thing. He didn't do that bad a job.
No, he didn't.
I mean, the movie's got some technical problems, like ADR problems.
Oh, bad.
But that's not his fault, necessarily. That's a budget fault. And I would say he's competent enough. I'm telling you, he would have been the next Kubrick. It's very sad. Because I guarantee you Kubrick was exactly like this guy. This big an asshole. I'm going to say that right
now.
Oh,
I'm sure he was.
Because I have no idea. I just want to say it.
Yeah. Why not? Everybody, you know, it's just something. Yeah, maybe he would have been the next Jim Jarmusch.
So everybody, if you haven't seen the Boondock Saints, rent that and rent Overnight, the documentary about the director of the Boondock Saints. I watched them both in a row, one right after the other. It was a great double feature. It really was. I just wish it went more into detail on the filming of the movie. It goes right over that. It goes into before and after really quick.
Well, they weren't allowed to because they lost all rights to it.
Right.
You know, they couldn't show anything about it.
But it's
they only showed little bits and clips of things like off stage, like Billy Connolly goofing around.
It's definitely an interesting story.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I give a shout out to our chat room at nimchat.com, which I just got kicked out of?
Yeah. But time's out.
Shout out to the chat room. Hey, everybody. Let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVos. Now, not a lot happened this week on television. We're waiting for all the new shows to start up. We're waiting for Bionic Woman, Chuck, Moonlight, that vampire show. Steven, you can't stop talking about.
Waiting.
K-ville, Bill, you won't stop talking about that.
Yeah. Caveman, when you're waiting for.
I can't stop talking about Gossip Girl. We're really excited about those. But in the meantime, we have What Perez Says. Apparently, Perez Hilton, this guy who does a blog on celebrities,
I'd like to know, you know, this guy has been doing it for a couple years now, and he's kind of worked himself into the in crowd out there. But why? I mean, are you going to play any clips?
Yes, I am. Now,
okay,
he did.
That'll perfectly illustrate my dumbfoundedness.
Now,
of the
can
popularity.
I just say now about Perez Hilton? I don't like to make fun of people's appearances. I just think it's lowbrow. It's like too easy to make fun of someone. But I'm going to say right now, this guy looks like a booger Ronald McDonald pulled out of his nose.
Yeah.
And in this scene here, he's hanging out with Mandy Moore and telling her, what's wrong, Steven? What? see who has this look on his face.
A booger that wrote a McDonald's pull out of his
Hey, it just popped into my head.
It just got me.
Well, he's got this crazy red hair.
I know. I know what you're talking about. That's why I sort of.
He has always got different colored hair, and he wears the loudest, most.
How has this guy gotten his own show? Troy Duffy. I would watch a show with Troy Duffy every week bitching about Hollywood just because the guy's entertaining. Except my lungs hurt after it because he smokes, like, constantly.
Yeah. He could be the third co-host on the Sunday Morning Shootout.
I guarantee you one day soon we're going to read that Troy Duffy lost his battle with lung cancer. And just below it, it'll be Evil Dick from BB-8 lost his battle with lung cancer. But here on What Perez Says, he's hanging out with Mandy Moore and showing her how to dance on a stripper pole. What? I don't understand.
I'm going to choreograph it as well.
You are?
Yes.
I can't dance, though.
No, it's simple. Something like this, and then you lick it.
Just picture in your head.
You twirl, and then you lick it again. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Huh?
Oh.
That's one inside a bagula.
And then a lick again. This is awesome.
VMAs next year. Mandy and Perez.
We're going to be there.
All
right. Is he gay?
No.
Okay.
Just a touch.
Now, someone who's not gay.
She's very effeminate.
Ellen.
No, not gay at all.
She had the flipping out guy. We love
she
that
loves
show.
Penis.
That creepy guy who he does that show where he flips houses. Uh-huh. He's got OCD. And he was on her show, and I thought it was interesting.
The gays are taking over.
What are you talking about, Steve?
The gay mafia.
What do they say about you, by the way? What are all the things that is it OCD?
Well, I tried to get a diagnosis out of him,
uh-huh.
And I kept saying over and over, diagnose me, and finally he just got so sick of it because I kept terrorizing every single time, diagnose me, and he said, fine, you're obsessive compulsive, you have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you have narcissistic personality disorder, and you have borderline personality with rageful features. And honestly, I was like, whoa.
What types of things are you doing to work out the anger thing?
Well, I'm on the fast track, Ellen.
Uh-huh.
I've stopped the therapy because I have to work.
Sure.
So I stopped the therapy, and I work now with a spiritual healer on scream therapy.
Spiritual uh-huh. healer?
And what that is that we try to direct my rage and my anger and my resentment. And then he puts this pillow over my face, and I scream as loud as I can, uh-huh. and I swear it helps.
Right.
It really helps.
What do you pay for something like that?
$200 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I'll come put a pillow over your face.
A pillow biter?
Too easy.
As a personal
Both
front.
Both Bill and I probably thought our heads, but we didn't do it.
He just is not paying attention. He doesn't view this work as important.
Yes, exactly. Live and guilty. Steven, you should be proud of yourself.
I had to.
Because, Bill, weren't you like, nah, I'm not going to go there?
Yeah, it was too easy. Plus, you probably get pissed at me for saying it.
I get it.
I let Steven do those comments now.
Congratulations, Steven.
Thank you.
Exactly. Very funny. Now, something else that's funny is Martha Stewart, yes, it's a slow TV week, if I haven't mentioned that, was on Letterman. Let's see how many times she can say hairy balls.
Well, I brought this from my garden this morning. I went out picking.
Mm-hmm.
I found some hairy balls.
I know what these are. What
hairy
are
balls.
These? Oh, stop saying that.
But they are. Look at them.
But what are they?
They're kind of a flower.
They're a flower. Are they edible?
Yeah. They are not edible.
Well, then they shouldn't be on the plate.
Well, no, I wanted them. They're called hairy balls.
Oh, stop it!
Gomphocarpus physocarpus hairy balls.
Uh-huh. Four times. You've said it four times.
Hairy
on,
balls.
Martha. All right, go ahead. Come on.
Hairy balls.
I know what these
hairy
are.
Hairy balls.
These?
Then they're called hairy balls.
Oh, see? Stop it!
Hairy balls.
Uh-huh.
Hairy
on,
balls.
Okay, thank you.
Someone's trying to get attention. Wonder if her show is failing that bad in the ratings.
She's like, I got to do something to get attention.
She used
here.
To be so prim and proper with that show of hers and her magazine, and now she, won't at the drop of a hat, she'll say hairy balls.
So, okay, Bill, we might as well get into this, and that's Big Brother.
You make it sound so difficult.
I think there's like two episodes left.
Yeah, I think there's a recap episode Sunday and then the finale on Tuesday.
The finale, right. Okay, and you know what? This always happens at the second part of the season. The excitement kind of wanes a bit because you know it's over. There's only two people in the house right now. It's not very exciting.
Now you don't really care who wins because...
Well, because, yeah, basically Dick and Danielle are the final two. And they're father and daughter. So really, whoever wins... It doesn't matter, does it?
No.
Except maybe if Danielle wins the 500K, she won't give most of that to her dad. Am I right?
She won't give any of it to him.
Yeah. She'll give him what she owes him.
On the live feeds, there was a point that he said, if we win this, we could put the money together and we could split it. And she went, no.
Yeah, like, I don't think so. His whole idea was... him and his estranged daughter getting back together, having relationship again, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, if you were teaming up with your daughter, your estranged daughter, wouldn't you make that pact in the beginning? Look.
I think they did.
We win this cash, it goes in together, we split it.
Bill, what are the chances that they planned any of this?
It's entirely possible.
I'm not saying that they planned it, but if they
planned ahead, they still didn't guarantee they would go to the ending.
Right.
Oh, yeah. This is an accomplishment that hasn't ever been done in Big Brother, to have two people that are partners in crime actually get to the final two.
Right. And Dick, he's an abrasive guy. He yells at people. But I would say Danielle did the majority of the winning to keep them in the game. Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There were moments that he was gone. I mean, there was no way that he was going to be able to stay. And
they were great at that. The main week, the most important week, was when he was screwed. He got Danielle off the block. He was going home, but he convinced everybody to turn on Dustin and Amber.
Yeah.
And to keep him and get Kale. No, wait. Who was it? Get who out? I don't even remember. Get Dustin out. That was the week Dustin said, put me up, which was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I think he should win the entire game just because of that move there. That turned it around completely. Like, if you look at that jury house now, it's all the good people, according to Amber.
Right, but here's the thing. When they did the first HOH where they had to stand on the carrot forever, and I thought that was great. Zach outlasted Dick. Dick looked like he was about to drop dead.
Yeah, I was. You know, it was bad enough that they were putting that that horrible sentimental music behind it, and then he started to put like the war music.
And then when he steps down and he lets go of the key, they had a thunderclap, which I thought was so lame.
Yeah, way overproduced. But I actually felt bad for him. He was really. You could tell. I mean, 7.5 hours in. The pouring water.
And what is the first thing he does? Sticks a cigarette in his mouth.
I was cracking up at that.
Smoke up, Jenny.
He's like breaking down, crying, covering his face. But the moment he wipes them tears away, man, oh, I need a smoke.
Yeah, I need me a cigarette.
Gotta smoke some nails.
I mean, he'd been 7 hours without.
But, okay, so... You know, I don't really agree with his... He was yelling at... One thing, Danielle, she's tried to remain innocent to a lot of her dad's stuff, but you see her go, talk to him. You know,
oh, yeah.
Taunt him. You know, do this stuff.
She loves that he does it because it takes the view off her.
And here's why I don't think if she wins, she will share it with her dad, is this is what I was getting at. When Zach wins the first HOH and the second HOH... it's her versus her dad. When she loses, they didn't show it really on the show, but she really... acted like a big whiny baby.
Oh, yeah.
And that
she always does.
Yeah, and then when they win something, her screeching, like scream. Oh. Just listen to this clip here. It just could break glass.
Congratulations, Dick. You are the final head of household.
Yes, we did it!
Yes! Oh.
We did it! 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 We did it, baby! Ow! Yes! Yes! We did it! Nobody could do it! We did it! We did it! We did it! Yes!
They did it, Steven!
We won that thing! Yes! Yes! Yes!
There is no decision. Zach, you're out. Me and you, Danielle, we won this whole thing! It's done!
It's official, Zach. You are the last person to be evicted from the Big Brother house.
You guys,
Don't agree with your methods, but it worked. Way to go, dude.
Hey, we're here.
Oh, that's good!
Now, the thing that I thought was so annoying, after Dick won, they had to do the little ceremony, like, who do you pick to leave? Zach or Danielle? Now, whoever you pick, you have 1 minute to say your goodbye. Just shut up, Julie, okay?
Is that
we know
necessary?
Zach, you're gone. Don't even forget all this crap that they pre-planned. Just leave, because he's going to pick his daughter. It felt really stupid that they had to go through the whole song and dance of that. It just was really gay, I thought. Yeah.
I'll put a pillow over your face.
Huh? So, Big Brother, the fun parts are in the house. They finally showed the sequester house. And they're having fun and stuff. And you know, one thing that Zach said, Julie said, why did you choose to turn on Dick and Danielle and then side with Jamaica? And he said, and what he said was really, I thought, was a good game plan if he went to the finals. He said, I had to make a show for the people in Sequester so they would see that I actually started playing. And that made a lot of sense to me why he did that now.
Yeah.
Because when they showed them watch that, and they're like, man, look at Zach. I like that. Don't you think if he would have made it to the finals with him next to Dick, they would have been like, well, Zach really stepped up his game. They would have found a reason to award him the prize, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And this way, the person who deserves to win most likely will.
Right.
I hope so. Because they hate them equally, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So that's Big Brother. It's going to be over soon. And
Thank God. Yeah.
So what else do we have to talk about? You know, I saw this goofy news story. I know we're going to do the news after our break, but I just thought it was weird. Let's just check it out. This is about a kid who defends himself, but had this happened to me, I'm pretty sure I would have crapped my pants.
17-year-old Kenny Partanen usually has no problem fending off an attack. But his lessons were put to the test over the weekend when a man armed with a chainsaw came charging into the family's home.
He barged in with a chainsaw. It looked like he was just mad at the chainsaw. And so I'm like, okay, hand it to
mad
me.
Mad at the chainsaw?
The intruder was a neighbor who, according to his mother, off his medication.
Just started screaming obscenities, like, towards my dad, but my dad was in the shower. And, you know, he just kept escalating, yelling louder.
Partanen has studied the martial arts Hapkido and was eventually able to push the intruder to the doorframe where they fought until authorities arrived. His mother says she's glad her son took up the hobby.
Thought he was going to kill him. That Donnie was going to kill him.
Brian Thomas, The Associated Press.
So what would you guys have done in that instance? A guy comes into your house with a chainsaw and he's angry at the chainsaw.
No, he's not angry at you, but he's angry at the chainsaw.
Right.
Is he threatening me in any way?
I don't know.
That's to the laughing yogi?
But you just want to bust some karate on the fool, I think.
I wouldn't go near someone with a chainsaw.
I know. And then there's this other... There's all these news stories during the week. You know, you got stuff about Iraq, stuff about Britney. But I see these news stories, and I'm like, huh? And this is one of them.
Forget snakeskin shoes. At Harrods in London, a killer cobra is the store's new shoe guard. The famous British department store brought in the poisonous snake to protect a $120,000 pair of sandals. Look at those sandals.
Watch out for snakes.
Stay here. You've always got on fancy footwear. $120,000 for a pair of sandals. You're out of your mind, folks.
It's pretty genius.
They say, don't. Think of it so quickly. It's worth it. It's worth it. Why? Because the shoes are encrusted with rubies, sapphires, and diamonds. You know what? I'd rather have them on my fingers, not on my feet. So-
but if they did every jewelry store like that, just put cobras in the cases when you're going home, the only problem is in the day when you're like, okay, I got to put the cobras away. This part of my job sucks.
I hate when news people try to make something topical out of a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I would rather have these on my fingers. It's,
and 5,000 dead in Iraq. Today in the wacky news, a squirrel is water skiing. This is really important.
A monkey has befriended a pigeon.
Aww. And 10 people are dead in a horrible fire when we get back.
An IED exploded in Iraq, and 10 soldiers were killed.
You know, one thing, what week is this, the 14th? we can actually watch some of the shows before they premiere, like Bionic Woman, Chuck, those shows. We'll watch them this week and talk about them on next week's show before they actually come out. And what do you guys say that we take a little break here and we'll be back with the news and the DVDs, Bill?
Okay.
I believe this week you'll have plenty of time to
DVDs. We're early. Holy moly.
Enjoy it. We'll be right back, everybody.
I'll try.
Tickle it, guys. Tickle it, Bill. He's not going to talk to me when I talk like that, I think. Now, before Bill comes back, let's listen to some hand-farting cantina music. This guy's a genius.
I'm telling you, he is.
This is my favorite part. Listen to that, man.
That guy is good.
His take on me is just awesome on so many levels.
That guy, it says manualist, but...
He's a hand farter.
He's a hand fartist, wouldn't you say? This is my favorite part of the whole thing. Listen to the intricacies. I can't say the word, but listen to it.
I can't say it either.
Do that
skill.
This guy's a genius. First ever guest on Nowhere in Mulberry, guys. You think it?
That would be awesome.
That is so cool.
Just look at the music this guy does. I mean, he's done Bohemian Rhapsody. He's done Aha's Take on Me. Money, he's done money, classical money, material.
My favorite he does a Steely Dan song. And I'm listening to him like, okay. And then he gets to the main chorus part, and I lost my mind. I was laughing so hard. I was crying. I wept openly. The guy, if you've seen beauty in your life, it's like an epiphany happens. That's what happened. I was like, this guy has taken the art form of hand farting and made it into a beautiful thing. And I think that he's guaranteed a spot in heaven for that.
Absolutely. He's going to get, like, a special crown. Just for hand farting.
Definitely.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Exactly. Now, what do you say, Bill? We get into some news.
I think we can do that.
Let's do it. Okay. All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
Yes!
I'm scared. Out of my hometown, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a 17-year-old boy accidentally shot himself in the leg while standing in line at a McDonald's. Now he faces illegal weapons charges. The boy was fiddling with the 25 caliber pistol tucked in his waistband when it fired.
Why is it always low caliber?
Well, I guess
it's easy to hide.
Fit in his pants, wounding him in the upper thigh shortly before 9 p.m. on Wednesday. Some days you deal with a victim, some days you deal with an actor, said Sergeant William Gorman. It's a strange day when the actor is the victim. What does that mean?
Huh?
I don't know. I guess maybe he's trying to say that the guy is both. Yeah.
Huh?
The boy was in good condition at Mercy Hospital, charged with illegal possession of a firearm, but he's not old enough to lawfully have a gun, so they're kind of in a conundrum. So they don't know where he got the gun, but he's an idiot, basically.
Very sad.
What else is new? Oh, shoot, I just closed my window. So, OJ's always been a loser.
Who's this, OJ?
Yeah, OJ. And, you know, you thought it was good enough for him to just murder two people, but nah, he's stepping up his crime spree. The Las Vegas Police Department said that OJ Simpson is cooperating in an investigation of a hotel theft involving sports memorabilia that allegedly belonged to the former pro football star.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Yeah, why not? police department said in a news conference Friday that it was reported as an armed robbery. We have reported from the victim that there were weapons involved. He said no weapons were recovered, and he stressed that the investigation is in its infancy. But the rumors are that Simpson was with the two men that pulled the guns and robbed this guy.
So it was like a heist or something?
Yeah, so he hired two guys to help him rob back sports memorabilia that was his.
So maybe he's like a modern-day Robin Hood or something, like the Boondock Saints.
Except yeah, taken what used to belong to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of indifference of people being murdered, he's getting back at the people that steal his stuff. Wait, it wasn't stolen. He was charged with murder.
Troy Duffy could make this story, I think.
Yeah, OJ's an idiot. I mean, really, this guy should just disappear off the face of the planet. I'm so
sick. I thought he
had.
I get annoyed when he comes back on my TV. I get annoyed when I see him on my television.
Yeah, he shouldn't be on our television. He should be in jail.
I'm going to have me some fun.
There's OJ right now.
I'm
going to
have me some fun.
No, that's Bill,
that was
the great
was
Bill
him
Duke.
Just before the murdering.
Oh, God.
Have some fun.
That's so wrong.
Well, it's true. In Sequim, Washington, the Sequim Police Department has decided to get rid of their drug dog, Titus, because he's simply not aggressive enough.
Titus, bring your friend hither.
Yeah,
sorry.
Police said that Titus is fine for sniffing out drugs, but they need a patrol dog that can track and bite criminals. So because this poor dog because this poor dog isn't mean enough, he's fired. It's like, no, I'm sorry.
He just wants to get the drugs and do the drugs.
Yeah, he's like,
don't
yeah,
you
man.
Hate that when people breed mean dogs or even like pit bulls or people
yeah, like
have those angry dogs?
Maybe they should go to Michael Vick and get a couple dogs.
Yeah, I remember having a friend in high school. No, maybe not high school. I think it was like, it might have been elementary school. He always wanted like a really mean, tough dog that could like protect him or something. I thought that was weird. He's like, he's going to be mean. He'll bite whoever I want to. And that boy was Steven. No, I'm kidding. I didn't.
Hey.
Yeah, I didn't know Steven back then.
On September 14th,
my ability.
An Indiana woman told police that she spiked her 12-year-old daughter's applesauce with Prozac because her child had trouble sleeping.
Jeez.
Karen Walsh, 51, was arrested Wednesday and charged with a felony neglect count for giving her daughter the antidepressant for about the last 6 months.
Yeah,
According to a probable cause affidavit, a copy of which you'll find at the Smoking Gun. Walsh knew that it was disastrous to provide the child with Prozac, which had been prescribed to Walsh herself. I was just trying to help sleep, and I guess I should not have done it, she told the sheriff.
I would say.
Yeah. You know, I think it's, you know, it would have been true greatness as if that Prozac affected the girl with, like, narcolepsy and she accidentally strangled her mother.
Is it OCD?
Freaking idiots. Again, another person that needs to take a test before they have a child.
Like, I know, they don't give those, though. Hey, you know what? Like, Brittany, how did she have children?
Leave Brittany alone!
Okay, jeez, I'm sorry. So remember that, Bill. No more Brittany jokes.
Okay, I'll try it.
Now! I mean it!
Maybe Brittany can get in the time machine and go back and tell herself not to have the children.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Leave her alone!
Steven, I'm you're sorry. Setting them off!
Have Kevin Federline Bastard. Wear condom.
We just want a few more Britney jokes and we'll be done, okay?
More!
You know what? The kid's bipolar. He doesn't know what he wants.
That's scaring me, man.
Stop, but I want more, please.
Hairy oh, balls. I know what these hairy what are balls. These? Then they're called hairy balls.
Oh, stop it!
Hairy balls. Hairy on, balls.
Yeah, working blue tonight. All right, Bill, what other news we got?
Some Leah County inmates in California set fires and broke toilets and windows after being told they would not be allowed. Oh, they would only be allowed one sausage for dinner. Jail officials
that
said
sucks.
The inmates began yelling and banging on their doors in what they described in the news as a temper tantrum.
Yes! Oh, yes!
He heard about free sausage.
Yeah, he wants more sausage.
Good Lord.
Yeah, he was a little upset knowing he was only going to get one sausage.
Nice. Oh,
thank you.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
They had to bring in two different police departments to restore control in the jail, and then it was locked down after Tuesday night's incident. 33 prisoners were involved.
Oh, that's good.
The damage to the jail was light, with some smoke damage, broken toilets, and windows. So, you know, if you're going to give your, you know, inmate sausages, you should give them more than one, I guess.
I would say so.
I love footlong.
You know, they have to change their, you know, preferences there. They can't exactly have what they're used to, so got to change it around a little bit.
Hot dogs are slamming.
Kay Grease, yes.
Yes, they is. If there's anyone who needed his own show, it was Kay Grease.
Kay Grease, definitely. Yeah, like K Grease.
Maybe
kitchen.
That was he cooking for the jail?
A burglar stuck in a chimney gets 2 years in prison. In West Covina, California, a man who got stuck in a chimney at a West Covina home last month pleaded no contest Wednesday to a first-degree burglary charge and was sentenced to a 2-year prison term. Superior Court Judge Abraham Kahn also ordered Marco Antonio Espinoza to pay more than $10,000 in restitution to the homeowners for damage he caused while stuck in their chimney.
It's like, dude, you jacked our chimney.
Please.
I can't close my flu anymore.
You prick. He was arrested on August 26th following nearly a 4-hour rescue effort by firefighters who had to dismantle part of the chimney to get him out. He reportedly told police he was doing construction on the house when he got stuck. One of the home's residents told the San Gabriel Valley Tribune that he heard noises coming from his chimney and heard the man saying, "Help me, help me."
I'm going to put a pillow over your face.
Yeah. It's like the story about the guy who was acting like Santa Claus and ended up dying in the chimney.
Hey, wasn't that in Gremlins?
Yeah.
That was a sad story.
Yes.
Chunk fuck.
Like trying to rob someone, getting stuck in a chimney. Who in their right mind goes, you know what? I'm going to get down through this chimney. Yeah. Fit through
that thing. I know how I'm going to get in that house. Does anyone make a chimney that small? Was the guy born without...
You mean that big?
Yeah, that big. But is it, was a guy born without a collarbone?
Yeah, and what happens whenever you get down to the point where the flue's closed?
Yeah.
You just kind of
kick it,
chill
open,
out, or? wait for them to open it.
So basically the guy's really stupid.
Yeah. And, you know,
stuff
what are you
like that.
Do? So I think we should probably wrap up the news and get the DVD since we only have about 30 minutes left.
You think so?
Yeah.
No! Wrong!
Okay.
You ready to do some DVDs, guys? Steven, are you up to the DVD song? Do you think you could do it?
I will do it. I will do it.
I'm up to the DVD song.
Do you need a lead into it?
Clear my throat here.
I'm doing the robot. Come on, Steven, can you do it?
I can do it.
The chat room, tell Steven he can do it. Come on. You ready, Steven?
Saved. Yes, I'm ready.
Let's do some DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, Ascendant, and Defender shots!
DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, everybody! DVDs!
Woohoo! I wonder when there's going to be a week where you don't say, oh, hell yeah.
I think...
The guy's a genius, I tell you, genius.
We should have pulled more of those. We need to give people an example of his true genius.
We must give them more hand farting music.
More.
Yes. By the way, you know that Britney, I mean, just seriously, she needs to go away.
Leave her alone.
Oh, sorry. Jeez.
She's a human.
I gotta see this guy.
What is she, a robot or something?
He looks like a really ugly woman with bleach blonde,
right,
two-tone hair.
No.
It's blonde and it's
a
brown.
Minute.
Okay, we better stop talking about him.
Okay.
Bastards.
Oh. Someone's angry. MGM, I don't know how many times they've released it, but I might as well mention it in case nobody owns it. 12 Angry Men, you know, the original one with Henry Fonda and Jack Warden. Who else is in that?
Peter Fonda. You already said that.
No.
No, Henry Fonda.
Yeah, Henry Fonda. That's what I meant. Yeah, good times.
I just know Jack Warden's in it, too, so... Jack Klugman's in it, too.
Yeah, that's why I was saying it was Klugman.
Yes!
Next DVD is... I think this was a... I don't... It's called Alligator. And...
Oh, that's a great movie, man. That's awesome.
Okay, now I know which one this is. I was thinking it was a sci-fi.
No. Robert Forster.
Yeah, but this is the John Sayles written Robert Forster.
Yes!
Yeah.
John Sayles, for Christ's sakes. The guy who did Lone Star, the guy who did what? Men with Guns. What else did he did all these critically acclaimed movies. He made Alligator.
What was that one with One False Move?
No, was he that, didn't do that. That's Carl Franklin.
Carl Franklin, sorry.
That was a great movie too, by the way. But
yeah, it was. But I always get the John Sayles. I always think that One False Move is John Sayles for some reason.
Alligator came out in that time where everyone was trying to capitalize on the Jaws type movie.
Yeah.
And that movie is very, very entertaining.
1980, of course. What's interesting about this is it's got a recently recorded interview with John Sayles and an audio commentary with the director, Louis Teague, and Robert Forster.
That's excellent. I'd love to hear that.
Britney Spears is a recreational lesbian.
Huh? What does that have to do with anything?
So is the alligator.
Yeah.
So
leave her alone.
I'm definitely going to put this on my Netflix queue just to check it out because I can't even remember if I've actually seen this. I'm sure I have.
I've seen it several times.
Can I announce that I saw this in a movie theater, a podunk crap ass theater, but I saw it in a theater.
Everybody knows how much we truly love Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly.
And in case you want to indulge in your love, you can pick up three comedy favorites in one $15 package.
Who is your daddy?
Speaking of who is your daddy and what does he do, Kindergarten Cop, Twins, and Junior. Wow. I don't know if Junior really fits in there.
That's some triple feature there.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Kindergarten Cop was entertaining, if not for the troll woman who was the principal. She always was interesting.
It's got one of the greatest lines ever. Is it a tumor? It's not a tumor. It was, one night I told my daughter, I go, go tell mama, go just go up to her and go, it's not a tumor. And she goes, mama, it's not a tumor. She had no idea why she was saying it, but I just thought it was great.
So, yeah, I remember seeing Junior in Wow.
Just, wow.
Like, wow. Who went, I got a great idea. Let's make Arnold pregnant, and it'll be hilarious.
Horrible.
Dress him up in drag and send him to, like, a female commune. Like, what? Next DVD is... the Best of Johnny Cash, the TV show. Or
huh?
The Johnny Cash TV show.
He had a TV show?
Yeah, he did. I believe in the 70s. He had a variety show kind of thing.
Really?
I don't know how long it lasted. It must have only been like a season or so. I don't know, but it's out there. And I like Johnny Cash, so I'll probably rent this just to check it out.
Yeah.
But I like Dewey Cox better.
Huh?
Yeah, Dewey Cox, you know, he had Walk Hard. Dewey, and it, okay, never mind. The new movie coming out
the
from
the you know, John C.
Oh, yeah,
Riley.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
Wow.
Move on,
that totally
Bill.
Slipped
Move
right
on.
By you.
Yeah, sorry.
I got None you, Bill. I had you. I knew.
So there's a direct-to-video version of a Blade coming out. I think it might be, I don't know, it's got Sticky Fingers in it, so that's really all that matters.
To steal a line from Bill a long time ago, why doesn't he wash his hands?
Yes. oh, God.
Good times.
Yes, good times. This is called Blade, the House of Chthon.
They killed the Giggler!
So,
does Blade kill the Giggler in that?
He should not have killed the Giggler.
So if you like really bad movie things, go ahead and rent this disaster.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not going to rent it.
Why
I don't
not?
Ever want to watch anything with Sticky Fingers in it, all right? They can't just put him in a movie and think I'm going to watch it. I'm better than that. Screw that.
If you don't like Sticky Fingers, you might like to watch Blood Rain 2, Deliverance.
Yes, I
might.
One of my testicles has enlarged.
And what's funny about this is that it doesn't have anyone from the original U-Bowl Blood Rain film.
Did he direct the second one?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I think it went straight to video. Yeah, Zach Ward is in it, so, you know, he's really stepped up from A Christmas Story. Hey, man, I was in A Christmas Story and Blood Rain 2.
Scares me, Jason.
Scares me, too. Anything with U-Bowl. Do you bowl, by the way, Steven? Do you ever do that?
I used to bowl.
I'm not very good. I mean, I'd have a few strikes, some, what do they call it, a spare. But
I could never really break, I think, 90. I think that was the highest I ever got. I wonder if you bowl bowls.
You would think that he would.
Mm-hmm. I don't
do
know if
bowl?
It's big in
yes.
Germany.
Yes, I am. Why is the guy, what? Do you bowl? Yes, I
yes,
am.
Yes, I am.
It's like, oh,
that
damn,
doesn't really
damn
work.
Foreigners.
You forgot something?
Huh?
What?
All right, Bill, what other DVDs we got?
Yeah. Boston Legal Season 3. The only reason I even liked that show was the Scientology episode.
Right, that was great.
Struggling.
No, you know what was great about that episode? Seriously, it got me to watch the show just based on that because you told me about it and I started watching it. And that's the place where we got all of our cool Scientology drops.
Yeah.
An electropsychometer.
Universal.
What's
for
an
some reason? Is releasing just the Spanish dub of Scarface. So I guess maybe it's that popular that it needs its own version. So
I'm gangsta.
If you speak Spanish and you prefer to watch it in Spanish, then go right ahead.
When he says, say hello to my little friend, what is he saying in Spanish?
I don't know. Ask one of our Spanish listeners or yeah, Mexican
I would
listeners.
Love to know the translation of that. That would be awesome.
So would I. The most important DVD of the week is Commando, the director's cut. Now,
Hell yes! Are
what
you kidding
could
me?
Possibly be, you know, better than the original? You know, the director's cut?
This, I want to see this. What did the director, what did he really intend from this?
Yeah.
His art. I want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see more chainmail vests.
I want to see. You know what I heard is there's a part where Matrix, which is Arnold's name in the movie,
yeah,
by the way.
Colonel John Matrix.
His name is named Matrix, for Christ's sakes. But there's a part where he hides in a tool shed, and then he uses everything in there that he can get. First of all, he uses a machete, chops a dude's arm off. He throws a buzzsaw blade, cuts the top of a dude's head
nice.
Off. Which all of a sudden, if you freeze frame that, the guy whose head's about to get chopped off has a forehead like Frankenstein all of a sudden. It's awesome.
Maybe that's what they changed.
But I heard that they added more violence to that scene. But one of my best... I love this movie. You just ask my wife. Whenever it's on, I'm like, oh, we're watching this. Commando. I don't care what part of the movie it is. It's just
yeah,
like,
I'm
oh.
sorry. Don't you see Ray Don Chong is on screen? Do you not realize?
Because,
come on, an underage Alyssa Milano.
What, Steven?
What? You're referring
think she
to
was like 10?
That's
yeah,
what I said, an underage.
Bastard.
No, but you made it sound like that's why you're watching it.
Yeah, like a
you sick monster. So, no, there's a part where Arnold is setting claymores, okay? He's setting them, doom, 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 and they have the cool music. And then he's running away, and these he sets it off, and they show all the buildings blow up. They show dummies standing stationary, like they're in a walking position. As everything's blowing up, you see the like mannequins just standing there, and they like didn't try to fix that in post production. Or
why bother?
It's like, why bother? It's awesome.
That looks great.
That is like,
change of
dude, we can't lose the explosion. Just leave it. It's great.
So and the DVD
it's close enough.
Yeah. So no one will notice. They're too busy looking at the awesome blow 'em up boom.
They love the orange fire.
But the best, that's got the best Arnold quips ever. You know, stick around. No, wait. No, let off
some
steam. That was the best one.
The DVD has the original theatrical cut, the director's cut, full audio commentary from the director, Mark L. Lester.
That guy's a genius, by the way.
It's got some pretty interesting stuff on it, so I'm going to have to pick it up.
Mark L. Lester was a genius.
Yeah, yes, he was. And speaking of genius, The Condemned, the movie with that wrestler, what's his name, Steve Austin.
Jericho?
No,
yeah,
what's right.
that guy's name?
Which guy?
Because that's how I rock him.
No idea, but...
K-Grease.
K-Grease, that's his name.
No, K-Grease isn't in this, but this kind of looks like that movie that... Ray Liotta did in the 90s. No Escape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where,
oh, I know what you're talking about. This it's one of those hunt people movies. Hey, we're going to hunt people.
Well, it's kind of like a No Escape mixed with Battle Royale.
You know what it's like? It's like Hard Target. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Lots of action directed by John Woo.
Or that movie with Ice-T.
I think...
He's hunted by...
Oh yeah, they've done a million of these movies. Like they're prey, but they end up hunting their
Wasn't
prey.
The John C. McGinley in that one.
The prey ends up becoming the hunter. I think is what I mean. Yeah, John C. McGinley. What the hell? Why did they make these movies? But they got another one. I know. We'll put a wrestler in a movie. How about he's hunted by these guys, but he's a badass and he ends up turning the tables on them.
Yeah, and there happens to be a hot chick, and he screws her too while he's.
Wait a
being
second,
haunted.
That sounds like Running Man as well. And...
Yeah, there's been a million of these. Wow.
So if you really care about this, it's got an audio commentary with Stone Cold Steve Austin and the director Scott Wiper. So
wait. The director's name last name is Wiper.
Yeah, W-I-P-E-R.
His name is Wiper. Nice.
Well, that could have any meaning, like wiping your ass with the film, or
wiping Stone Cold Steve windshield. Austin.
Wiping your nose after you snort a line of Coke.
I can't wait to see what Wiper does next.
Yes.
Maybe he's like German or something.
My window.
It's Viper.
Yes. Last name. Scott Viper.
Scooter Viper is my name.
I own the Viper scooter.
He'll be in L.A. wiping windows.
If you don't want to hear the commentary with Stone Cold Steve Austin and the director, you can just listen to Scott Wiper talk about the technical aspects of shooting.
Bill, can you record that for me? And I'm going to podcast it.
The condemned or the commentary track?
The commentary track. You know, while I'm like cleaning the toilet or something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Huh?
That's gross.
That's more like it.
Death Proof and Extended and Unrated Edition. The least entertaining of the two Grindhouse films. Separated.
Its main problem is that it followed a movie that we were really tired after.
Yeah. And you know what else? The girls that are killed in the beginning were more interesting than the girls he was chasing.
Well, that's the thing. They set it all up. The opening takes forever.
Yeah.
Getting to know these girls. And then, sorry for any spoilers here, but they die. And then it introduces a new couple of girls. You know what? I really think that if we would have seen this by itself, we might have felt differently.
I was bored. You can talk about how great the movie car chases are, but I would just rent the movies that they even talk about in the movie.
Right.
Like Vanishing Point and what is it, Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry, or whatever.
But you know,
it is.
The thing, and I've said this before, what I walk away with after Death Proof is over is there's a scene in the movie where Kurt Russell is eating some nachos, and they show him he's digging through those nachos, and Quentin Tarantino shows him eating like the whole thing. He's just stuffing them in his mouth. When the movie was over, I was like, damn, I gotta get me some nachos, man. I am starving. That's when I walked away after it was over.
I think we went and got nachos.
I was craving nachos.
So, Death Proof. And it's got, it doesn't have a commentary on it, which is kind of shocking.
Does Quentin ever do commentaries?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever heard one.
Oh, so he's like, I don't have to justify my work. It's that good.
Well, some of those directors think that it stands on its own. Spielberg. Does Bryan Singer do those?
U-Bowl.
No, Bryan Singer, he doesn't do director's cuts. That's who. But yeah. They're U-Bowl, no. He's like, my work stands on its own. It's like,
my work is so good, you don't even need to understand it.
Yeah. No, I think it does. Like, here's what I was thinking when I did this.
I would love to listen to a commentary of his just to hear him justify how horrible.
I want to hear.
Look, the night before I was boxing. I don't know. I had a concussion.
I want a U-Bowl commentary done by the people who gave him the money to make the movie.
Oh, God.
What were we Oh, Jesus. What is
people
this movie?
Give him money because he gets a return. It's an investment.
Right.
They don't care about the quality of the film. They just care about getting money back on it.
You know, it's almost like Canon films. You know, they turn an investment making bad movies. This guy is. He'll make your money back.
Yeah.
How come somebody like Troy Duffy can't get a job?
He'll make him back in DVDs and rentals and all that other stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand at the end of that documentary Overnight. Like, is he not trying to get another job? Or is he...
Because they show that at the very end of Overnight, it shows what all of his friends are doing now. One guy's a painter. Another guy's a bartender. Another guy works in retail or something.
Mechanic.
Then it shows Troy, and he's just kind of standing there smoking a cigarette. It's like, he's not doing anything.
That's what he does.
I haven't worked a day since.
And I almost started to think, oh, I know where he went. He's just concentrating on his man. Nope, they broke up. They're not doing anything.
Yeah, they're all you know, exercising manual labor. They put their claw.
Exactly.
The worst thing was his two friends that were managers that he just basically fired whenever they, you know, promising them that they would have.
Oh, yeah. As soon as they come into money, he automatically denounced everything they've ever done for him. You were doing that based on the fact that we'd hit it big one day. We haven't hit it big yet. This money isn't that. So, no, you aren't getting any of this money. This is our money. It's not your money.
And they quit their jobs.
I know. And weren't those the guys making the documentary, too?
Yeah, it was.
So I was like, why would they put this documentary out of their friend looking like an asshole? And then after that scene, I was like, oh, now I know why they're doing the documentary. Okay.
Deliverance is coming out in a special edition, not only on DVD, but on Blu-ray and HD DVD.
Nice.
So if you love your Ned Beatty ass rape, why not pick it up, watch it in the glorious high def?
Wow. Wow. I don't want to watch that movie in high def.
Why not?
I just don't want to.
Whee!
Squeal, Peaky.
Whee! God, that was bad. If you like Family Guy, you can pick up Volume 5. I'll pass. Thanks.
Now, what is it?
Family Guy, the Seth MacFarlane show.
You know, I know. Have we ever gone on a Family Guy rant here?
No, but I'm afraid we might piss people off.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and piss people off, because a lot of people love Family Guy. They think it's funny, ha ha ha, it's got great anecdotes, you put your little clips on YouTube of a funny song or something. Seth MacFarlane's a hack, all right? Let me tell you right now, that show ruins nostalgic pop culture references for the rest of the world. They nod to each other, they're so proud of each other for referencing this shit, they ruin it. It's not even clever. All right, Steven, I'm talking to you. So I'm just saying that the Family Guy sucks, and it's not clever, and they don't know what... I mean, they're ruining references. It's clever to reference something every once in a while, but they do it so often, they go back to the well, there's nothing left. They've hit dirt, all right? They're digging to China, and it's not funny anymore, and I'm not taking it anymore. Family Guy sucks. Seth MacFarlane, you suck, all right?
It's like the guy is trying so hard. In one episode, I think last season, he not only referenced Star Wars, Star Trek, The Goonies. It was like all in one.
It's like, hey, guys, look what I've seen. I remember this from my childhood, and I'm referencing it in my cartoon. I'm so clever.
I'll come put a pillow over your face.
I think somebody should do that. They should sneak up on him and put a pillow over his face.
Now, Steven, how do you feel about this?
I see both sides. I like some of them. I'm like you said, you can see where it gets heavy-handed. They go too far, but then there's some episodes that are, you know, are free of, you know, so many references.
Do you think that sometimes they rely on their clever references way too much?
Yeah.
They go back to
there's
it too
times,
much.
Yeah.
What is it, that one creature, the bunny that he'll fight with every once in a while? Is it a bunny? What is it?
It's a chicken.
It's a chicken.
No. Oh, I thought you were talking about the staring monkey.
The evil monkey in the closet.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know the characters, yes, thank you.
So, Steven, I've offended you, I can clearly see, so we'll go ahead and move on.
He fights the chicken over a coupon.
And
you know?
They're not referencing anything, they're doing their own bit there,
and it's,
right?
Yeah, and they've gone back to that several times.
Right.
Where... all of a sudden, you see the guy in the chicken suit looks at
Steven, if you're
the character.
My friend, you will never watch The Family Guy again. Choose a side right now.
Yeah, and if you do, that's it. He's cutting ties.
No, when I watch a Family Guy,
I'm sitting in a hotel room out of town, and I'm watching Adult Swim.
So basically,
Swim.
You're only watching it because there's nothing else on.
Pretty much, because I don't know anything else on.
If the two two Corys is on, do you watch that?
I'm
or
watching
Family
the
Guy?
Two Corys.
All right, there you go.
How about that?
And when I see the Family Guy,
if I saw the episode of the Two Corys, I would probably watch Adult Swim too, because that's the only thing on late at night anymore.
I never watch Adult Swim.
See, when I'm bored, I just turn it on and leave it on.
That's what I'm doing. I'm usually surfing the net while it's on, so I'm kind of half watching it.
And right. Speaking of Adult Swim and Seth MacFarlane, I think you can finally put Seth Green into that smother with a pillow package, because Robot Chicken is starting to do the same thing, and it's pissing me off.
Oh, they're referencing
they think
so
they're
much?
So, yeah, they think they're so clever with this nostalgic stuff, and it's just not funny.
You know, I liked Robot Chicken Season 1, and I don't know if I just got too much of it. Maybe Robot Chicken Season 2, I didn't watch. I couldn't watch it. I TiVo'd all of it. I just couldn't watch it. It's almost like, okay, it was a good thing. It's time to move on now. You know?
Yeah, it was, you know, like you said, it was just too, there was,
just, I mean, they've exhausted all the jokes.
Yeah, when I watch, like, Family Guy, when I have to sit through it, I feel like Donald Sutherland at the end of Body Snatchers. And my wife feels like Veronica Cartwright in that
movie. Like you've fallen asleep and the pod person has taken you over.
Yeah, and my wife's like, honey, you're right? And I'm like, exactly.
Do you have a white man fro?
Now, if anyone disagrees with us about Family Guy and you want to tell us the virtues of Family Guy, nimpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Next DVD is the John Candy comedy collection, Arnold.
I miss him.
But this one actually has two good movies. Uncle Buck, The Great Outdoors, and Going Berserk.
Great movies.
Where did they dig Going Berserk up
I've seen
from?
That. That's a funny movie, isn't it?
It Kinda. Is, but I haven't. I don't think it's ever been on DVD.
Going Berserk. It even has a song called Going Berserk at the beginning.
Those are always the best comedies whenever they have a song with the title in it. Like Police Academy, Citizens on Patrol.
Right.
You get the Citizens on Patrol.
We got to do a song at the opening. Yeah, you know, you got to do that.
You have to sing the title. So, this is a three-pack from Universal, Uncle Buck, Great Outdoors, Going Berserk.
That is weird. Why? Yeah,
the reason why Planes, Trains, and Automobiles isn't in it is because that's a Paramount film.
Bastard! Film.
Exactly.
So that's why. Next DVD is some soccer movie called Gracie, if you have, like, little girls or... probably little girls. Boys wouldn't want to watch this, but, you know, the typical... uplifting.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. Much more interesting for the listener.
Oh, that's a good... That's a Plane, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, I know.
That's what Foggy was doing. I was like, why is he playing this now? But no, I figured out. I'm a really smart
Foggy.
Person.
Ass.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
So, Gracie, if you have a young kid, she likes soccer.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
There you go, Gracie. Ghost Whisperer, second season. If you missed the cleavage from the second season, you can pick up the DVD and watch the cleavage.
I missed the horse whisperer.
No, the ghost whisperer. She doesn't train horses. Like when a ghost comes to her, she says, like, okay, run slow, run fast.
You know what?
Jump.
I don't watch that show, but I did catch an episode last season. It's an HD, after all. And her best friend in the show is Cameron Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, God.
And
the most vile person to ever look at. She's like, when I look at Cameron Mannheim, I actually want to throw up.
God.
Wow.
Wow, that's a strong feeling there, Bill.
Well,
so,
it's true.
She's best friends
disgusting.
With Jennifer Love Hewitt's character.
She's
who
the fat, ugly friend of the hot girl.
Yeah, she can talk to ghosts.
Psychics!
Gargoyles.
Is that me? She's not psychic. She can just talk to ghosts. That doesn't make her... So anyway, she tells Cameron Mannheim Steamroller, she's like, I've got to tell you something. I can talk to dead people. And I help them move on to the afterlife and all that, and... Just wanted to let you know that. And your son, he's been talking to his dead father, and I'm trying to help him deal with that. And I figured the show's so cheesy, she would just go, you know what? Oh, that's great. But she's like, you need help. You're insane. Stay away from my son. Stay away from me. Get out of my life. And she starts crying. And I was like, that was awesome. She made her cry. She made her feel like a loser, a freak. And I thought that was a great episode.
Oh, absolutely.
But, of course, she comes around later because she sees her husband or something. He's like a ghost. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
Yeah, they should have made it where they just weren't friends ever again.
Yeah, no! Then we would have to look at Cameron Mannheim Steamroller.
They do great Christmas songs, though.
They do. I love it. Especially whenever they have, like, a Moog synthesizer.
What's a Moog?
A Moog? Synthesizer. That was, like, in the 70s, there was a
Does it
Moog
sound anything like this?
Pretty close.
I like it, yeah.
I love it. That guy's a genius. I would go see this guy live. He's sitting on a stage in a chair, and they play. There's an orchestra behind him, and he's got a microphone in front of his hands, and he's doing fart music. I would love it.
Has he got, like, wet sponges next to him?
He's got a bucket with sponges in it.
How does he do that really quick part where he draws air out?
Yeah, he goes, whoop, 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 whoop. He goes back and forth. And I would like to hear a stereo mix where they go left channel, right channel, left channel when he does that. It's awesome. Check it out. This part coming up right now. Man, that's genius.
But that part really there is that good, too. Where he draws out the hand fart, that burp, burp, bring, that's talent.
That guy's a genius. We got to get him on the show.
Can control the air in his hands. It's great.
Funny, very funny. That's our funny alarm whenever something funny happens.
Flashdance Special Collector's Edition, if you don't already
what
know.
A what feeling. A feeling. Oh, wait, that's the wrong movie, isn't it?
No, that's right.
Oh, wait, that's also...
Maniac, maniac.
Just a steel town girl on a Saturday night. Boo-doo-doo-da-da-dee-da-da-da. You know, I don't know the lyrics.
That song is pretty close to the title of the movie because it's, what is it? She's
a maniac.
I know that. And it's Steel Town Girl.
People would wonder, why is she's a maniac? And the movie's about a Steel Town girl who wants to be a dancer. But at the end, it turns out she's a serial killer. She's a maniac. She goes on a killing spree.
I'd pay to see that movie.
I would. It would be awesome. It'd be kind of scary.
Serial killing dancer.
Yeah, who also works in a steel mill.
They perform. It'll be kind of like. My mind just went blank. The movie with the Christian Bale, where he's the stockbroker.
American Psycho.
It'd be like American Psycho, but with a dancer.
Instead of him.
Yeah, that would be cool. So, yeah, about the millionth time this movie's been released on DVD in some sort of special collector's edition. If you like it, buy it. If you don't,
you're joking me right now, right?
Yeah. Lucky You, the Curtis Hanson film that basically came and went with Robert Duvall, Drew Barrymore, and Eric Bana.
Little American Psycho-esque.
Oh, this is the movie where he's the poker player, right?
Yeah.
I gotta say that I love Curtis Hanson as a director. He did L.A. Confidential. He did the movie that I'm blanking on that I liked, Wonder Boys. He did Wonder Boys. He also did the Eminem movie, which I've never seen, mainly based on the personal things.
Yeah. I loved the book Wonder Boys, and he did a terrific job adapting it. He changed things, of course, but I don't know who wrote the adaptation, but I think movies are better for him when he's not involved with writing them. Like, he didn't write, you know, L.A. Confidential or Wonder Boys, but I think he was involved with 8 Mile and then that In Her Shoes.
In his defense, I heard that 8 Mile was a good film. I just didn't want to see a movie about rapping and Eminem. That's a clip from the movie right there. I just don't want to see that for 2 hours. Well, maybe I do. That does seem like pretty interesting.
I love classic Jackie Chan movies, and this company called Dragon Dynasty is releasing a 2-pack of Police Story and Police Story 2, which are really fun movies. Police Story 2 is the one where he falls through. You've seen it on like shows where he falls through all the awnings. And there's just some really great stunts in both movies, and it's great to see him young and vital and actually doing some stuff as opposed to this Rush Hour crap that he's involved in now.
What's wrong with that?
You're asking what's wrong with it?
Yeah, I mean...
Why don't you ask yourself and then think about your question?
But, I mean, everybody goes to see the movies, you know?
Yeah.
Huh? Huh? Say something!
I'm just going to move on.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Shut up. Saturday night.
See that again. You
are.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I like Beach Boys.
Yikes.
That's bad. Saturday Night Fever 30.
Beach Boys.
What do we have, drops of a whole movie? Jesus.
Beach Boy. Saturday Night Fever 30th Anniversary Special Collector's Edition Super Fun Pack Extreme Edition. So, yeah. I could honestly give a shit about that movie, so I'm not even going to rate
it. Is it OCD?
Another movie I could give a shit about, Selena, 10th Anniversary Special Edition.
Bill. Why not
celebrate her death with watching that horrible movie again?
Wow.
Magnolia Home Entertainment is releasing Severance here in the United States. It's a British film where there's a company outing, and they work for an international weapons dealer, I think. And they're left stranded, and they have to fend for themselves, and then they become the target of a killer. So it's a fun British...
Is it convoluted a little?
Well, yeah, of course it is, but it's tongue-in-cheek. So the convolution isn't that bad.
Hey, Don Chep in the chat room, I didn't say Saturday Night Fever was bad. That was Bill. You know,
I didn't say it was bad either. I said I could give a shit.
Yep, but Bill has lots of disorders.
You're obsessive-compulsive, you have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you have narcissistic personality disorder, and you have borderline personality with rageful features.
Yes, shove it up your ass. If you really want to know, it is the R-rated version, 118 minutes, commentary by John Badham.
Isn't his last name Badham? That's how
Bad, yeah, Badham. You know, sometimes when you leave it out a little too long.
It's like the director of 310 to Yuma is James Mangold.
Mangold. I am so manly. I'm golden. Fried gold. Catching the Fever, 30-year legacy, making of soundtrack, platforms, polyester DJs, disco, spotlight on Travolta and his thetans, and blah, 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 blah.
Leave her alone!
So if Donna that satisfies you guys. Smallville, the complete sixth season. If you love it as much as we do, pay $50 and you'll love it even more.
Meow.
Huh? What the hell?
I don't know.
Why the cat? I don't.
Foggy's nuts.
If you're a fan of the animated series,
you're like a pit bull on a pant leg.
Oh god. if you're a fan of like the animated series of Superman, there's a new.
Okay, yeah, we're past Smallville.
0.1 music, please.
Only a little more bizarre.
Lydia, I can't wait to get back to Smallville. What's going to happen? There's Bizarro Clark.
Yeah, you're right. There is Bizarro Clark. And his face fractures. That was really
That's
bad.
Awesome.
So there's Superman Doomsday. This is a DVD that is being released through DC Universal and Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah. I saw a trailer for this or something in a theater, I think.
No.
Yeah,
like
it's
a little video screen or something.
No, maybe. We saw that they were advertising it at that Sam Goody.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. And it
so
was...
When, go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's basically the when Superman's death storyline done in a cartoon form.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have that series of comics. So when Doomsday battles Superman, mourns a falling hero, humanity realize it's never truly safe again, blah, 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 blah. Inspired by the best-selling graphic novel of all time, The Death of Superman.
And originally they were going to do that in the movie, weren't they? But instead they made it where he just went to find Krypton for 5 years or something. I mean, what?
I'm going to be interested in that.
Krypton Man.
Mainly because, you know, like Bruce Timm and...
those guys know what they're doing. Definitely.
Yeah, they're really good. And I've always loved these. And the voice acting is always top-notch. But Anne Heche is voice... Oh, wow. Never mind.
You're going to do the big Academy Award performance? Go ahead. I'm expecting that. That's going to happen.
Troy, director's cut. Special
Troy
edition.
Duffy?
Yeah. The horrible Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah. Never had interest in seeing that.
Achilles. I think Eric Bana's in it, too, I think. And Orlando Bloom or whatever. But it's a Wolfgang Peterson film. It's bigger, braver, and bolder. Okay. And he's added 30 minutes into the movie. So if you didn't think it was long enough, I think now it's over long. So there's a... there's just a special edition, and there's a ultimate edition, which I think includes more garbage. The Upright Citizens Brigade is finally releasing on DVD their complete first and second seasons.
Funnier than Family Guy?
Oh, definitely. It's long overdue also.
What about you, Steven? You like it?
They did one bit.
I can't say. I don't know.
They did one hilarious bit called where people were at like this convention, and there's a guy speaking about psychotonomy, and it's a farce of Scientology. It's really funny. It's like he'll give somebody a baked potato and say, you like potatoes. And the person goes, no, I don't like potatoes. And he goes, say it again. Repeat it. Let's do it again. You like potatoes. No, I don't like potatoes. And he's trying to get them to say they like potatoes, like the E-meter readings.
Oh, I gotcha.
And, it's really funny. So you got the two seasons.
What's an engram?
Another film, a French film called The Valet, which is a really entertaining romantic comedy.
About a guy who parks cars.
Yeah. What happens is he's a valet who parks cars, and this businessman who's dating a supermodel is photographed and put in the tabloids.
With his mistress.
Yeah. The businessman's wife wants a divorce, and the guy has to hide the fact that he's actually dating this supermodel.
Right, so because the valet is in the picture with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, oh, that girl was with him.
Yeah, they hire the valet to act like the supermodel's boyfriend, and they kind of develop a friendship, and it's a really endearing, funny movie. I'm sure there will be an American remake at some point, which will be painful.
I saw the trailer to it, and I was like, that looks really funny, but they speak a foreign language. Not going to see it.
Wall Street, the 20th anniversary.
I'm surprised you can read that in your condition.
Greed is good. 20 years later.
What do you think? Overrated or great movie?
At the time, it was poignant, but now it's really dated.
It is dated. I did like the film a lot, though.
Yeah, I liked it, too. I thought Michael Douglas was great. Charlie Sheen was good.
Gordon Gekko.
Greatest name ever. GG. We Are Marshall, which is a horrible, horrible, cliched sports movie.
Directed by McG.
Yeah, I got a Academy screener. They're actually trying to push this gigantic hunk of shit on the Academy as for a nomination.
Yeah.
I'll come put a pillow over your face.
It is painful.
Matthew Fox to win the Oscar.
Yeah, it's just really, really, really bad. I can't, you know, warn people against it enough. If you just, you know, can watch that stuff like Patch Adams and this sort of thing, go for it, but otherwise don't. And that's DVDs for this week, which is Tuesday, September 18th, 2007.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Thank you.
You did a really good job. Better than Britney would do.
I like to think
leave Britney alone!
I'm sorry, God.
I'm not as good as that guy, though.
She's a human!
She's a human?
He's just trying to point out the obvious.
God, that guy's so upset.
Yeah, I think Steven had it right. She's inhuman.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the demon.
Boom goes the dynamite. Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
All right, everybody, that was episode 93 of Nowhere of Mulberry, live on Talk Radio X. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. We enjoyed it. Steven, you survived.
I survived.
Hopefully your head cold's gone next week.
I'm sure it will
everyone
be.
In the chat room, wish Steven well. He's a stand-up citizen, upright citizen guy type thing.
Sometimes.
Right? Right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes! Oh, oh. Yes!
Yes, exactly. And we'd like for you to call and leave us a voicemail because no one did this week. What up with that? 1-206-202-3491. Also, leave us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Go to nowhereandmulberry.com and you'll find links to our chat room, NimChat. Obviously, some people found it. You'll find links to our forum. And find links to Mulberry Old School. And Bill, I have an announcement to make before we leave, and that is that our lunchtime show starts this week on Tuesday at 12 Central Time, 12 noon Central Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, mm-hmm. on September 18th. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do a show for an hour, and we'll see how it goes, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
People can get a view into our mind and how we put the Friday show together.
And here's one thing. Should I say something about the premise? Is that basically we are flying blind on the show. We prepare nothing and we just do it. Right.
Well, that's kind of what this show's like, except we have a rough outline.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of preparing of clips and that kind
of
thing.
Well, that's true. That can take days.
But the weekly show will be us just looking at news of the day and stuff like that, and we'll have lots of fun, and if it sucks, then we won't do it anymore. So how's that?
I think that's good. That's acceptable.
Right.
Also, we're coming up on our 100th episode. Do we go into syndication or
right.
something like that?
No! I mean it.
No, we go into 100 a couple weeks from now. Next week's 94, then...
Yeah, but we're coming...
Whoa, Steven, are you okay? Jesus.
Also, I want to announce to people that are still listening...
Boom goes the dynamite.
If you want to win a copy of Friday Night Lights Season 1, tune in this week. We're going to do a little contest where people are going to try and win the first season of Friday Night Lights.
Is that during the Daily Show?
Yep, during the Daily Show.
Wow.
So, incentive for people to tune in.
And I think the official title is The Lunchtime Show with Bill and Jason in the Mulberry Food Court is the official.
Oh,
no, I think it's just The Lunchtime Show.
All right.
Tickle it, Bill.
Tickle it, indeed. Hey, now.
What does that even mean?
Ask the Rise guys.
Bastard!
Exactly. I feel the same way. So, okay. Everybody, that's the show. Have a good one. We love you. See you next week.
Take care, man.
Episode 94 next week, Friday.
No, see you on Tuesday. That matched as well.
No, it doesn't really. Thanks, everybody, in NIM chat room. You guys rule. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks, Heather.
Credo, Antibert, Yud, and Ancha. Sorry, Donchep. Everybody.
Yeah, if anybody's still awake.
Yes! Oh, yes! Yes!
podcasting.